Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, it has finally happened. After a year, after 11 long games, the Boilermakers are victorious. They blanked the Ball State Cardinals 31-0 in their opener. And Sim, I don't know if you could have scripted a better game for Coach Odom and the staff. You know, just from jump, you know, they came out and kind of stepped right on Ball State's throat, you know, scoring three plays in. But just overall, you know, I don't know if even Coach Odom was expecting a game like this.
Yeah, I think, you know, from how he was talking, he very much so sounded like, you know, a guy who understood, like who believed that the team was ready to play on Saturday. But I don't know, like you said, I don't know if he thought that this type of performance would be what he get, what they got. Just realistically, obviously, you're not going to be upset about, you know, shutting out your first opponent. And like you said, the way that they came out the blocks, you know, scoring three plays in, and then, you know, scoring on their, and then turning around and scoring on their second possession, and all of a sudden, you know, you're up 14-0. That's a really good way. And then, like, before really anyone's had a chance to settle into the game, and then really, you know, it just was a. It's a really stellar performance, I think, for seeing this Purdue team versus what we were kind of left with last year. And obviously, we're not going to talk. I mean, I said going into the game, the only thing I hope that this team has in common with last year's team is that they win week one. And obviously, last year is last year. But just, you know, we have these kind of requests that we kind of talked about in terms of what you want to see this football team, what you want to see this football team look like. And I think not only for Coach Odom, but I think for us as fans, you saw a lot of that. You saw, you know, it seemed like everyone kind of knew what their assignments were. You saw on defense guys rallying to the ball. It just looked aesthetically, it looked more like, oh, okay, we have something here to really build on. But yeah, for being Coach Odom's first game, it was, you know me, I love me some stress-free sports. So this was great. This was great. You really couldn't ask for more outside of maybe a touchdown or two more, but in terms of how the game went, even despite that, it was really, really positive for Purdue. And obviously fans, yes, more.
Yeah. You know, it just kind of felt different. And I know everybody's saying it's Ball State and, you know, obviously, you have to build on this, like this, you got to take this and build on it. But just like you said, like aesthetically, like it just felt like a different team out there in a really good way. And it would, you know, in all three branches, like offense, defense, special teams, like it felt like a team that kind of came out on a mission and wanted to make a statement.
Yeah, no, like you said, in all three phases, it definitely looked like, you know, we've talked about even in the buildup to this past week, we were talking about complimentary football. I know Coach Odom has harped on that. And they talk about, you know, like situational football, but obviously, yeah, like complimentary football above all else. And that seems like such a, like you said, like play Ball State. So like this kind of should have happened, but kind of say last year, you know, again, hate kind of going back to last year so much, but last year they didn't look like a team who, you know, played like they weren't a team who played complementary football. You know, if the defense was playing well, then, you know, obviously the offense had its struggles. You had your struggles with special teams. I mean, the team like wasn't playing complementary football. And so to see that now, like you said, like the like even though it is against Ball State and you want to see you're going to need to see more, it just was a nice way of seeing like early on, like, hey, look, like, yeah, this is all three phases when they're firing. This is what this Purdue team can be. And if everyone can kind of lock in and be on the same wave, like, yeah, we could see more performances like this.
It was definitely just a really good building block. And speaking of building blocks, I don't think you could be any more impressed than how Ryan Brown started his year. 18 of 26, 311 yards, two touchdowns. He also ran one in, didn't turn the ball over, which was a big thing. Hit seven different receivers, and much to him, the offense, we talked about that start, but it was kind of him dropping some dimes out there. Like, he came out ready to play, and had a career high game. And it was one of those games where it felt like kind of how we talked about last week, where like we're excited to see him with a competent staff. And I thought, like, him mixed with the play call, like everything with the offense just seemed to flow really smoothly.
Yeah, no, I really did, man. He like you said, he Ryan made some he made some really good throws. I think he did make good decisions with his feet for the most part as well. Yeah, spreading the ball around. He had, seven different receivers, and I think we can both agree that probably that number actually could have been higher. But just in terms of what you wanted to see from him and understand, hey, look, like basically, is that Illinois game or was that really just the outlier in terms of his overall, or are we or is he capable of giving you more along that type of, on that trajectory? And I think we had talked in a previous episode, and it's like we're not expecting him to do the Illinois game every time out, but the things that he showed in that game were like what we're curious again. Could he do like is he really capable of doing all of those things? And again, much like the overall team performance, he's going to have to continue to build on this. But it's just, yeah, it's really nice and it's reassuring to know that with this more experienced staff, that they've been able to get him into this position, which again goes back to what Odom said leading into the week. Actually, when he named Brown starter, about how he felt like every quarterback in that room was capable of playing winning football. And today, I mean, excuse me, on Saturday, we saw Ryan Brown, like that was winning football that he played. You mentioned too the fact that he didn't turn the ball over, and he only took one sack. So he was really smart with the ball with where he went. Didn't put it on the ground, and then yeah, obviously that, I mean, one sack obviously can be a credit to him, but also obviously to the O-line as well. So yeah, but just really, yeah, just I don't know if you could have asked really for a better start for his season either. And like you said, like the team, I think this is a good building block. It's a good building block for Ron Brown as well.
And so he was the only Big Ten quarterback this week to throw for over 300 yards, which is pretty crazy to think about. And I'm going to put you on the spot here, Sim, with a little fun trivia. So Ryan Brown is the third Purdue quarterback in the last 5 years to throw for at least 300 yards in the season opener. Can you name the other two?
Hudson Card's probably one.
Wrong.
Really? Last year against Indiana State?
Not according to the game notes, courtesy of PurdueSports.com.
That's crash. Three of the last 5 years. Would it be Blau?
Wrong.
Is that too far back?
I think so.
Damn. I'm trash out here.
One of them's in the league right now.
What was I say? Oh, Jesus Christ. AOC.
AOC had 365 in 2022,
I was gonna be like
and
Jack Plummer.
Jake Plummer had 313 in
That's right.
2021.
They had me in the first half of America, but I figured it out.
An overall good game from Brown. And just one last thing about him, I thought that he really he utilized his running game efficiently. And you know, there was times last year where he was brought in and it almost felt like you knew he was going to run the ball. In this year or in this game, it felt like he was pass first and run if he had to. You know, it and he looked more comfortable back there. And I think, you know, part of that is probably a tribute to his experience last year, but I'm trying to see how to word. I feel like he utilized his legs when he needed to and wasn't looking to run first.
Yeah, I think his decision making, that's kind of what I would go with, is that his decision making was better. I just think, I mean, not to say that it was bad last year, like you said, like there were times where he came in and between the two quarterbacks, you knew he's the more likely of the two to use his feet. And even probably Ryan Brown would have said, I would probably would have preferred to use his feet. So he comes into the game and like you kind of know. But this year, I mean, excuse me, but on Saturday, yeah, you're right. Like it. There were times, even when he was handing it, like, you know, they're running that read option and they're running that read option and you know, you genuinely he's handing it off a fair amount. He's taking it and running with himself, and like I think he'll get better too in terms of being able to read the defense as he does that, as he, you know, as you run that. But like, yeah, I felt like his decision making, like you said, with between running and passing, was really good. Because there's gonna be times where, yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, you're gonna have to use your feet and try to get what you can and get down. But there's other times where, like, just because you can run, it doesn't mean you need to be the one to run. I thought scrambling and then still looking for guys downfield. He had a, honestly, he should have had another touchdown pass. I didn't necessarily want to bring this up, but, you know, got that by being able to
Just
scramble out
about
the
to,
pocket.
so.
But yeah, by, you know, by using his feet to scramble out the pocket, and, you know, but he kept his head up and was looking downfield and, you know, found a guy in the back of the end zone. And unfortunately, you know, the pass was dropped. But that to me is like, yeah, understanding when you got to run, you got to use your feet, but also knowing that just because you take off to get out of the pocket, it doesn't mean that, like, no, now it's a run. It can just be, hey, to buy myself more time to see if one of my guys can get open. So I thought he did a good job of that.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect example of kind of the next step he needs to take. And like you said, like it didn't end in the result that you wanted, but like that'll come with time. Like that play, I think just kind of goes to show kind of how he's kind of taken hopefully what we think is the next step. And you know, he kept his eyes downfield. And put a throw right on the money, and wide receiver just wasn't able to make the play. But you know, if you keep doing those type of things, you're gonna get the
Better
results.
results, right?
But I do want to talk about the wide receivers just a little bit, Sim, because I thought that they played really, really well, man. Like, you're missing probably, I guess, what you would call wide receiver one. I don't know if there's a true wide receiver one in this group, and I think that's more of a credit to like guys like on my branch, Michael Jackson. Like, I think those guys are really good. But Morissette's out, and those two guys really stepped up. I mean, Branch, you know, he really set the tone early with the big plays. And Michael Jackson kind of seemed more like kind of like the safety blanket almost for
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as
Ryan
well.
Brown, but they really complemented each other really, really well.
They did. Yeah, no, and that's, I think that's important too, because you have two guys who, like you said, with Branch was able to get those explosive plays downfield, but I felt like Michael Jackson was just out here, you know, in between excuse me, that intermediate range, catching these 5 to 7 yard passes. And that to me, especially I think about that going forward, and that's like, all right, so if he's like the security blanket, that's probably the guy you can look for on a down where like I gotta have it down. Whether, you know, you're trying to make a comeback and you're like, hey, we need a couple good plays to kind of get us going, or to extend a drive that third down, you're probably looking at Michael Jackson third. But on our branch, his ability to be able to take the top off the defense. Again, yeah, that just poses a whole new level. I mean, a whole new dynamic. And like you said, we might not have like a proper, wide receiver one, but if you have guys who are, I think if you have a bunch of guys who could actually serve as wide receiver two, that's going to be okay as well. You should be fine there. And I think having multiple options, multiple guys who he can depend on for Ryan, he being Ryan Brown, I think that bodes well for him as well. Because saw in this first game, if he's willing to spread the ball around to seven different guys, that means his eyes are moving. His eyes are moving around. So to know that he has two places he can really look at and be like, all right, one of these two open, you like your chances that way. And to say that, hey, maybe at least one of them probably has a better look to be able, if he's gonna let that ball go in one of their directions.
And so, I mean, you had Michael Jackson, six catches, 72 yards and a score. Amon Branch, 3 for 101 and a score. E.J. Horton, 3 for 38. Nitro had 3 for 32. Maccabee, 2 for 45. And Smith, 2 for 30. Like, just really balanced out. And I feel like they all kind of just took advantage of their opportunities, and just, played really well. And just one more fun kind of nugget. I won't put you on the spot for this one, because if you could pull this one off, I would be shocked. But Amon Branch is the first Boilermaker to have 100 yards on three or fewer catches since Desmond Tardy had three catches for 112 yards in 2018 against Northern Colorado. Branch also the first wide receiver to get over 100 yards since Abdur Yassin in 2023 against Syracuse. So it's almost been 2 years since a wide receiver had a 100-yard game, which kind of sad to say, but like I think it's just more of a
Checks out.
testament to Amon Branch, and like, he really seems like kind of a playmaker and a guy that you want to get more touches.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he definitely made a name for himself in this first game. And yeah, off of this game, you're like, all right, well, let's see. He needs more touches because it's like you want to see, okay, wait, how, what is this guy's ceiling? We want to start trying to figure that out. Jesus, for it to be that long between 100 yard receivers is kind of crazy. But no, I mean, I think I was looking at the stats. You were listing off, the guys who caught receptions between, I think it was Corey Smith, Devin, Maccabee, Nitro, EJ, Ahmad, and Michael. I think Brown went, what did he go? 18 of, wait, six. Damn, I had it earlier. 3, 6, 9, 6, 15, 15, 4, 19. 19. So 19 of 20. 19 of like 23 to those guys. And that's pretty good percentage if you ask me. So I mean, not
I
only
mean,
were the, like was he throwing to a lot of guys, but it seems as though, when you're making these attempts that, guys are catching it, guys are getting open, and he's finding those guys and they're connecting. So again, there's a lot to build on for that whole, quarterback and the for Ryan Brown and the whole receiving core of just understanding. Because I think too, when more guys are able to get the ball receiving, like that's gonna make you in terms of the way you run your route, like that sticks with you of knowing like, hey, look, if I get open, my quarterback, he's looking around. Like, yeah, he might have his two guys, but like he looks around and like if I'm open, he's gonna throw it to me as well.
No, and it also makes you harder to game plan for
Yep.
as well, because you don't really have one guy, that you can key in on when you spread the ball around like that. And I did just want to give a quick shout out to the OC John Henson. Like, I feel like he called a really good
A really good
game,
game, yeah.
especially, with him coming from USC. He wasn't the primary play caller, obviously. Lincoln Riley is gonna do like most of the play calling. So he hadn't called plays for a couple of years. And maybe it's just because of how bad the OCs were last year, but it just seemed like it went so smooth, like everything flowed. You didn't really have any like penalties or, issues getting the play call in, or, delay of games or anything like that. Like, it just seemed like a really smooth flowing offensive game. And I think Coach Henson and the rest of the staff too, but like, they deserve a lot of credit there.
Yeah, no, it definitely seemed like, not to say that the play calls were predictable, but in terms of like there being a rhythm, a nice mix, like you said, I think yeah, just I was really, yeah, I was really, that was nice to see as well. It was just really nice to see and kind of feel like, okay, like, hey, we're gonna have some trick plays here, but we're gonna like, but there's gonna be a nice balance here of run pass to grind to the, because you want to keep the defense, you want to keep the defense on unsure. You want to keep them on their toes in terms of like not being able to anticipate, hey, okay, this is what they're going to do given this situation. You know, we don't want to necessarily develop habits that can be seen on tape. And I just, yeah, I thought that was something also that stuck out with me, is just the way that the play calling was. It just definitely had a nice like mix of everything to where you're like, all right, cool, like, we can
And
do this going forward.
you called a good game when nobody complains about your play calling on Twitter.
Yeah, the final boss, that is Twitter.
I don't think I saw any complaints at all. So that's like a tip of the cap there. And real quickly as we wrap up the offensive side, I did just want to talk about like the offensive line a little bit. They weren't dominant, but on the flip side of that, like, they really didn't do anything to disrupt the game either. There was no big holding calls, there was no real blown blocks or anything like that. Special shout out to Ethan Trent, who had to fill in the first half and play some center as well. And there was really no bad snaps. The offensive line did a solid job, and I think going into that with so many question marks, you'll take that for week one.
Yeah, no, like we said, they were one of the groups who we were just kind of like, yeah, you just can't stick out in a bad way. And I think like, yeah, I reiterate your sentiment about like they were fine. They were serviceable. That was fine. And like obviously you know that they're gonna continue to try to build from where they were at today, but on Saturday. But yeah, by all means, I mean it was it was fine. It's hard to look at those stats for Ryan Brown and seem like, oh, well, like the O line was still was shit. And even maybe like you probably didn't run the ball maybe as well as you did, but you didn't run it poorly. And you know, Ryan Brown was relatively clean for the game. So from the O line, I again, yeah, it was a very like that should be a fine performance. Like in terms of like, hey, that's passable. That's good. We're like, you know, we'll take that.
Yep, no, I agree. And it wouldn't be a recap pod if it didn't mention Maccabee just a little bit. Shout out to him. He became the eighth Boilermaker to reach 2,500 rushing yards. Also went in the top 10. I think he's just a few now behind Markell Jones,
73
is the
yards.
next guy on the list, I believe. He had 59 rushing yards, ran one in as well for a score, and was also a playmaker, catching the ball. So, overall, just a solid game from him as well. So shout out to him, Sim. But I want to flip it over to the defense. And it kind of was a weird defensive game because you win 31 nothing, but like, you didn't turn the ball, you didn't force any turnovers. Nobody played bad, but like, nobody really jumped out. But I think it was like a really good team effort, if that makes sense. Like, there's no real like crazy individual stat lines, but they allowed 87 passing yards in the whole game. Like, that just doesn't happen in this day and age. Like, it was just a really, really overall good team effort on the defensive side.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you don't see anything that sticks out, but by what Ball State wasn't able to do, and then obviously reinforced by the by the donut that's on the scoreboard, shutting them out clearly. When even when they looked like they were making a drive, we were able to make plays. We were able to make plays and be able to stop and be able to force for either where they settled for a field goal, which they then missed twice, or obviously able to get a stop and get the ball back. So yeah, I mean, I think too with the defense, there's gonna be a lot that they can look at as a unit and be like, guys, like we did this, but we could have been so much better. Like they had four sacks, but like they could have had more. Like you said, they didn't cause a turnover, and it's like, yeah, obviously we want to take the ball away as well. So we have room there, and then also there was a stretch there where there was a little difficult to tackle. And I know that they're going to look at all those areas and be like, yeah, these are areas where we can improve. But that, despite that, look at the performance we were able to put together. And that's what I think that's goes down to like the coaching and them guys just being locked in and knowing what their assignments were. And just I kept seeing kept noticing like how guys were just like rallying to the ball. Like one guy would get to the ball carrier, and then all of a sudden you saw two or three other jerseys right over there. Yeah, that was really solid for the defense, despite the fact, like I said, like you can definitely point out a few things and be like, well, yeah, you guys could have been better here. They had a very, very solid performance. I mean, you said that they only had 87 passing yards total. They had what is it, 222 yards. They had less yards than as like collectively between both rushing and passing than Ryan Brown did throwing. He threw for 311. And he beat them on his own. So it definitely like it's again hard to look at a stat line for that for the opposing team and be like, hey, defense, you didn't do well.
Yeah, and they set the tone early too. Like, I think it was huge that first three and out. And you get the ball right back to the offense after they scored quickly, and they went right back down and scored again. And all of a sudden you're up 14-0, and that can kind of dictate like how you defend too. So, they came out ready to go. And just, very impressed with how they played. You had Manny Powell finish with five tackles and got a sack. Taj Rael, I think, led the team with seven tackles. You had Saunders Ellis, who got a sack in his first game there. So he was one, that we had talked about when we did the defensive preview that we were really excited to see. And just, obviously you need to, this unit needs to create some turnovers. But I feel like they got to the quarterback when they needed. And, one thing that really stood out to me is like, how many times have we been upset when it's like third and 10 and the DBs are 10 yards back, and playing soft coverage, and the wide receiver runs a slant or an in route and then pick up a first down, and just drives us crazy. And I thought that was one thing that I noticed, where the defense was very aggressive, especially the DBs, and just like defending the wide receivers or jamming them at the line. And just as a fan, that was nice to see, because that's one thing that has driven just me crazy over the past few years there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just continuing to be aggressive even when you get them in, because especially when you get a team in an obvious, in this case, an obvious passing down situation, it's like you don't want to be soft, you don't want to let up then. But yeah, I think they, I it was nice to see a more aggressive Purdue team. I mean, hell, we were even blitzing too. So it just,
Weird how that works.
I didn't even know blitzing was a thing that we were allowed to do. But yeah, man, the defense, and you have these guys, yeah, guys who contributed, and again, like you said, they're probably all gonna sit there and say, man, but we need to, create some turnovers. I'm sure the D line's like, no, we need to actually get to the quarterback. But I also saw a lot of times where that D line was, in terms of the rush lane discipline on pa like when passing seemed a lot better. Like they like, you know, every guys maintaining their lanes. And so it was more of like the actual pocket just collapsing in as opposed to a guy getting there, but also then leaving a valve open. You know, if he doesn't make it, then all of a sudden quarterback's able to run free. And again, like there were times, some of those missed tackles I referenced earlier were literally off of like times where the D line gets pressure. You know, they're kind of caving the pocket in, and then the quarterback's trying to scramble out, and there was a guy or two who got their hands on him and just wasn't able to bring him down. But again, you like to think that if you're continuing to get that type of pressure, and as you obviously try to dial more into the details, that guys will putting yourself in that position, guys are going to be able to make those plays more times than not. And if you're not getting to the if you're not creating turnovers in the sense of like getting interceptions, but you know your sack numbers are up. I mean, that's not going to be entirely bad either. Like I don't I mean we're going to be kind of hard to we're going to be hard pressed to we're going to be hard pressed to find to really be upset with the defense that's just like getting the quarterback ad nauseum, even though they're not necessarily getting as many interceptions.
Yeah, no, that's a good point as well. And it was almost kind of like a bend but don't break in a few of those with the missed tackles, which led to letting Ball State kind of get down the field, and then it almost seemed like they were like, all right, bet, like we're gonna make sure that we make a play here. Like one, I think that sticks out was Ball State was driving, I think, and had it in they had it in Purdue territory, like inside the 40 maybe, and then on third down we dialed up a blitz, and I think it was Manny Powell that got home and knocked him out of range, and they had to punt. And so just an all-around really good team effort. And again, like I think kind of the theme for this game is just like a building block. Like this very much seems like a very good building block for the defensive unit as a whole to kind of build on week one. And speaking of building blocks, I can't not talk about the game and talk about special teams as well, because it's been kind of a thing that has been really bad for Purdue in recent years. And I thought that the special teams was really good. You made the only field goal that you took, but man, Jack McAllister, have yourself a day. And probably went under the radar in a game like this, but he had three punts, all were at least 50 yards, and all ended up inside the 20-yard line. Like, that's about as good of a day as you can have.
Yeah, no, that's what you want. I mean, even on a day like that, like it doesn't necessarily jump out at you, but you think about that, you know, as you progress in the season and having a punter who's capable of being able to pin teams inside the 20. You talk about like where you're trying to, where sometimes you get a drive going, or you get a couple first downs, but you know, you just like, or rather you start a drive and you're pinned deep in your own territory. You're able to get a few a few first downs, and like you kind of need to try to flip the field back to know that you have a punter who's capable of being able to do that. It definitely gives you a good feeling of reassurance. I know Coach Odom has harped on like the necessity of being good specifically in special teams. So I'm sure he's probably pleased with that performance from Jack. Like you said, man, have a fucking day.
Yeah. And he was really good. And it was just nice to see kind of the special teams not be a problem. And be like a strength. And again, that's another thing that you hope to build on. But Sim, I just kind of wanted to ask you to kind of so big picture game one. When I think it was announced, over 53,000 at Ross-Ade. We talked about it going in. You couldn't ask for a better day weather-wise. And then, it just seemed like a really good atmosphere. So for you who was there, like just kind of speak to kind of how the game was, how the crowd was, how the fans were. Because it seemed like kind of one like a really fun game and just one that like we as fans have just been freaking dying to have.
Yeah, man. I mean, getting up there and you just kind of see like there's that renewed like every seed like a new season always brings that renewed like hope and optimism. And I feel like you could feel that. You could feel that in the like in the tailgate lots, and then even like in line getting into the stadium. And I think that angst turned into frustration because some people just didn't have their tickets downloaded. But you know that's for another day. I'm not talking about myself. I proper plan. But yeah, man, and just like the one thing you can't say about this Purdue team, like just you know these Purdue fans is that they don't support. You know, we got in there. I mean, it got in there, and it was packed. It was packed, and like you know, everyone was, and it was like everyone was thirsting for just some good football to watch. And you know, with every big play, you know, we were everyone was just was engaged. It was great, man. It was Rossi the way I remember it. You know, and more positive times. And yeah, I mean, like there were some Ball State fans, but obviously with it being an in-state game, you're of course going to see that. But they didn't have, well, one, they didn't have a lot to cheer for, and then two, they didn't really have that. Their volume was not carrying for much, so it was really drowned out by the Purdue fans. And I mean, even shout out to the student section too, because that place was packed too.
And like again, the theme of building blocks, it kind of felt like this is a building block for next week. You got the night game under the lights. We'll talk about, the preview episode more later this week. But man, if it's this good at a noon game on August 30th, I can only imagine what the crowd is going to be like under the lights coming off a 31-0 victory.
Bro, I
So,
tell you what, man, nothing like a nice game, night game at Ross 8. And I tell you what, it's gonna be one of them ones, man.
so that was neat just to see. I know, like, just seeing some pictures of some stadiums across the Big Ten, cough, cough, IU, where they couldn't even fill their stadium coming off a playoff year, and Purdue comes off of 1-11. Season and has a crowd like that. So shout out to the fans there. But Sim, as we kind of wrap up the football talk of this episode, I think it was really neat to see Coach Odom and the response that the players gave him after the game, him getting the game ball from Coach Babinski afterwards. I thought that was interesting to see, but I got one more trivia question for you. As Odom became the first coach since who to win his first game as a Purdue coach?
Danny Hope.
You would be correct. I felt like all the time there you were trying to go through Wikipedia. But yeah,
Nah,
his he the
maybe
first
man
he's
just
the
knows the
first coach
squad.
since Danny Hope to win his Purdue debut. But like we've talked about how impressive he came off, in press conferences leading up to this. And through the game, after the game, like it just, he just, you can see how he rebuilt the UNLV program and turned that program around so quickly. Because he just seems like one, a solid coach, and two, a coach that guys love to play for.
No, for sure. He's just yeah, he's so detail oriented, and you know, we've talked about like yeah, like the way that he's been very kind of like cautious, but like almost like a cautious confidence in terms of like knowing that every day that this team's been getting better in terms of what they're trying to build and what they're trying to instill with these guys. And you know, I saw like photos of them in the locker room afterwards, and it just Yeah, it, again, like with the performance you saw, and then just kind of the way it seems like guys are really bought in, it encourages you about like what he can build here. If he can build something like he built in the, you know, at UNLV, and hopefully something that he that you know wants to stay around for a while, you know, that would be That would be ideal. So that way, you know, not in another few years, we're sitting there talking about, oh, we have this new head coach. But yeah, I mean, I'm to this point, I was kind of like in wait and see once he got hired. I didn't really, obviously didn't know much about him, but just from everything that I've seen and heard, and even through this first game, I'm like, all right, like I really, it's really something where I'm like, okay, I'm curious, I'm very, very anxious and in a good way to see, you know, how this continues to build.
No, I agree. Just came off impressive. Everything like we said at the start, it's hard to have scripted a better first game, all around, whether it be Ryan Brown on the offense, the defense pitching a shutout, special teams doing their thing, crowd, weather, like everything was perfect almost. And so now you just take it and see how you can build on it. And so we will have a preview episode later this week as the Boilermakers look to take on Southern Illinois next weekend, September 6th, under the lights. Be very, very excited for that. But 1-0, move on. Let's build on it. And Sim, kind of speaking of building on it, I wanted to switch gears and talk about the volleyball team a little bit, because they are also undefeated. They are 2-0. Shout out to the Lady Boilers, at Bridgestone Arena, earlier this evening, or, on Sunday, just depending on when you're listening to this episode. But
You mean Monday?
yeah, I'm sorry. With the holiday, it just got me all thrown off. But Sim,
Right.
we were a little worried, I'm not gonna lie, after the match on Friday.
Yeah.
But you talk about a bounce, and I don't bounce back's probably not the right word because they won on Friday too. You're not technically bouncing back from anything, but it was a very impressive outing from Coach Shondell and the Lady Boilers, and just, all the way around, up and down the roster, you got really good performances this weekend. We were kind of messaging as we were watching the game, but it felt like you could really feel the team kind of come together during this match.
Yeah, no, they looked like a team that was starting to figure it out and like to in terms of like playing with each other. And I think they they talked about Dave's talked about and the players have talked about like how much they like and they all like each other and like get along like they're all friends. But obviously you need to see what that translates like on the court. And like you said, like the match on Friday, it wasn't. You know, you they won. It wasn't great. If you look at the stats, it was yeah, it left a lot to be desired, honestly. But they definitely had an improved performance today against a team where they needed to have an improved performance. Like if they played the way they played on Friday, today, Sunday, they would have lost. And you know, I think on Friday they hit like as a team they hit around like 200, and today they hit 379. It just yeah, it was a it, and outside like even two outside of really two blips where I think it was what in the for like to start off the for in the first set they go down 5-1, and then but then they bounce back from that, end up taking the first set 25, I think 25-17, and then in the third set, because they genuinely could have swept today, they were up 17-11. And you know, then you know Tennessee got rolling, and it was kind of like a, and then, you know they let that set go through their you know go through their hands, but like came back in the fourth set, eventually took control, and then were able to close it out. And I think that for a team, yeah, that has so many new pieces, and new and important pieces, games like this on top of the one on Friday, they're just continuing to be much like we said with football, where it's just it's a building block. But also, you know, it's nice when you're able to have a game like this where you're building on and still understand like, hey, like we can get better in some areas. It's nice to have a game like that, a match like that, and still win. Then you have a positive to take out of it, because then you're just I mean, I imagine you're more motivated of like, guys, look, if we clean up some of this stuff, like if we clean up the way we did the back half of that third set, it's a sweep and we're out of here, you know? So Yeah, it was really, really impressive by the ladies to basically do it as a de facto road game because, you know, they're playing in Nashville. But yeah, it was really, really good for the ladies. And again, I know I think you're probably about to allude to this more, but like everyone says it's difficult to beat Tennessee in sports, and I haven't seen it.
Had to beat me to the punch on that one, huh? Just in case anybody was wondering, Purdue and Tennessee Athletics have met 7 times over the last 5 years, and Purdue was 7-0 during that stretch, with the Purdue volleyball team leading to 4 of those wins. And just let me say, as a Purdue fan living in Nashville, that's really, really fun to have. I love wearing my Purdue stuff out in public and getting nasty looks. So, but
Ben
no,
Roberts,
back to
synonymous with
volleyball.
humility.
Like, just I think you hit it right on the head as far as like a building block. And you know that with much like Coach Odom and the football team, like this was a big building block for this team. And you know, I don't want to get too far ahead, but this kind of seems like a match where you'll look back and be like, ah, that's where they kind of got right. And you know, hopefully I'm right with that. Obviously there's a lot of matches left, but this kind of has that feeling where, because let's not get it twisted, it was a dominant performance against a really good Tennessee team.
Yeah, no,
And
yeah,
like
man.
you
And it was
said, like,
in Nashville, like
right. And they got off to a really bad start in set one, like you said, down like 5-1. And then they just flipped a switch, man. And so you just hope that this is like one of those matches where it's like, oh, shoot, like we could be pretty good.
right.
But, you know, just like big picture, too. Shout out to like Bridgestone, and it was a really cool environment to see all three of the matches. You know, the Kentucky Nebraska match right before that was really good. Neat to see Vanderbilt back having volleyball games, and to have that. So, like, all in all, it was cool. It helps that we won as well. But like we talked about, like, you got to win and move on because, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, but like, it's
There's a gauntlet
not going to get
coming right
any easier.
now.
So this was a really, really big win when you look at it, like all things considered there.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Like, it's a building block. You need to try to stack up these wins as much as you can to try to build some forward momentum. And I think winning a game like that in that environment, it can bode well for you in terms of your confidence. Like we said, they've got some really tough matches coming up, two of the next three being against ranked teams, fortunate enough to have them at Purdue. So you know, you like to think, hey, we're gonna have that home crowd behind us and be able to kind of play a bit. You know, maybe they're able to, you know, elevate their game some more. But yeah, man, that just with the way that this, like, their non-conference and obviously conference, no, the way that their schedule is, there aren't really any lulls to where, like, hey, we have like a pocket here where we can kind of like half-ass it or something like that. Like, they for the new bodies that are on here, they, like, you know, the quicker they're able to gel and rack up these wins at the same time, the better. So yeah, I think that, like, it wouldn't have been the end of the world if they had lost today, but I think it definitely helps them going into this upcoming week. So yeah.
Very well said. And you know, vibes are high right now. Like, volleyball's 2-0, the football team's 1-0 with a shutout. So let's keep the good vibes rolling. And hopefully we'll have another good week to build on. But want to thank everybody for listening as we wrap up. Just want to give a quick shout out as well to friend of the pod, Ray Davis. Happy birthday. Young fella, just wanted to give him a quick shout out as well. But the football team 1-0, volleyball team 2-0. Let's just run the table, guys, and not lose at all. How's that sound?
There you go. I mean, look, you're not wrong. I'm not gonna lie. I'm down for it, but I know America, I know this man next week. Next week, he's gonna sit here and be like, "Well, I mean, look, Purdue, like if Purdue wins, he's gonna be talking this kind of energy the rest of the way."
No, but I think the theme of this was definitely building, and hopefully both the football team and the volleyball team use this weekend to build towards some success there. But either way, we will be here to break it all down. Again, want to thank everybody for their support, all the interaction this weekend on Twitter for both football and volleyball was really fun. So please keep that up. But most importantly, let's boiler up.
Yes, sir.